I'm Ellen, and you're listening to The Curvy Pod. My mission is to share conversations with entrepreneurial-spirited women and discuss how they break through barriers to live above the curve and create meaning in their life. I'm so excited today to have Miss Asia Monet here on The Curvy Pod to talk about her life and how she's gotten to where she is today. And since she does a much better job of giving her background story, I'm going to let her do that.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. I'm so ecstatic to be sharing my journey with you and your audience. So I'm a full-time model here in New York City. I specifically do fit for intimate apparel, as Ellen will know, because I am her 40G fit model. As I also do prints and I do runway as well, but I am basically a self-made professional model. I don't have any huge agency backing me. I've been freelancing throughout my whole career. I've actually have like boutique agencies that I may also freelance with, but the majority, I am a self-ran empire, basically.
Yes, you are. That's incredible. So
thank you.
Do you remember a specific moment when you had a call to action to sort of create this life for yourself and help other people, or?
There has been many pivotal moments, I feel like, where I had to step out of my comfort zone as being, you know, a curvier woman, a shorter model, and just step up and show what can really happen. And so I would say the majority of my career has been a call to action, honestly, because everywhere I go, it's like I'm very much the not the norm when I step on set. And so with that being said, I go and I show up and I show out. I do. And I feel like because it's not just about me, it's about all the women that are going to come through the door after me. So I believe my career sets a precedent for those things to happen, to have size diversity, to have ethnicity diversity within, especially the lingerie business, which is a whole nother stream versus mainstream fashion. You know, it's like it's its own entity, intimate apparel versus like mainstream fashion. So I feel like my whole career has been like literally a call to action. Yeah. to represent for women.
Yeah, because it is about representation, and that people, it's been so dry, mm-hmm. the lack of representation, the idea of what is the norm. Right. And today we did a panel a couple of weeks ago. We, meaning the intimate apparel industry, with a bunch of designers got together and talked about size inclusivity. And we were, you know, the idea of what the norm is. And the norm is what is available. And what is available are basic sizes that are in a department store. That's the norm. Right. But it isn't necessarily the average.
Right. Right. That is absolutely on point. And when I came into the business, I would sit with companies and they would say, oh, well, women of this size doesn't want X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, well, I am that woman of that size, and I actually do want X, Y, and Z. I actually do want matching bra panties. I actually do want beautiful colors. I actually do want lace and trims. Like, you know, I literally had to be that voice, literally, within these design rooms to say, you know what? Maybe we should try this. Maybe we should go this route. But it was hard to break that mentality. There was a conscious mentality within this industry. And it was like, I'm knocking at the door like, hey, this is not what you think it is, you know? So you're absolutely right about it's not the average, you know, we think it's the average. It's not.
And the other ironic point is that they are confused. The industry confuses how someone looks with what someone wants for taste. Like, can you imagine if they judged what you wanted for dinner by how you look? Like, oh no, you definitely don't like pasta. We should not serve pasta.
Right, she definitely wants chicken.
Yeah, she looks like a chicken girl.
Right.
You know, like, who does that? And yet you say, like, oh, of course, everybody wants to look beautiful. Everybody wants to look sexy. And who are we to judge culture?
Right, but that's what has happened. That is absolutely what has happened. And I'm like, no, I mean, I remember specifically there was I was working on a design with a team, and they were like, oh, no woman wants right here above there, like where their navel is, cut out. Nobody wants that. And I was like, okay, wait, I put this on, I think I look sexy. I'm like, I'm definitely wearing this to bed. I'm definitely wearing this with my lover and he will love it. And like, I'm like, really? Because people don't understand. They think, I've heard these things, like there's a stereotype. Oh, she's thick. She's home. She has no man. Nobody wants her. She's not desirable because she's plus size. Like there has been stigma around this. And this is how some of these teams literally are thinking. And when they're thinking about their marketing, they're like, oh, it's no need to go to sexier options in extended sizes. There's no need for it.
Yeah, that's, you know, so funny.
And it, but it happened.
When God forbid they looked at how many people had belly button ring, right?
I had one back in the day. I had one. I got it done twice, actually.
It's just absurd. It's just like, it's really an absurd thing.
You have a normal biological chemical reactions to life. Like, why would they be any different regardless of what you're?
Of course. I just think it's lack of options.
Yeah.
You know, lack of options. I mean, you know, me getting into the whole swim thing, that was a whole nother life. And it was like something that was not fair. String bikini wasn't fair for plus size.
Right.
It's just so simple. Why shouldn't we have options? Like, but people will tell you, oh no, we don't need to make string bikinis because plus size women are not wearing string bikini. No, plus size women didn't have an option of having a string bikini. And now there's an option, and now it's a whole life. Like, it's a whole movement. So yeah, it's about having options.
And since you've been speaking up for yourself and being this voice for people who maybe would be scared to do it themselves, you know, they can see you and your Instagram or everything that you've done. Is there anyone that ever did that for you or any other person? Or did you kind of born with this voice?
Okay, so that's a good question. Thank you. For one, like, that's what keeps me going in the morning. These messages from women saying, oh my God, you're such an inspiration. Because, like, recently I got a message, you slay any normal models day. Like, you know, I was just like, because we also have this thing going around where if you're using plus size models, it's like a lack of, what I would say, consideration on how you're executing these campaigns. Like, it's not to the standard of the straight size models campaigns. And I'm like, no, I'm nothing less or nothing more because I'm plus. So with my imagery, I go for it. I go for it because I'm like, this is what it should look like.
Right.
You know, it should be at the standard. So I recently posted this picture of me in the waterfall with a white bikini on. It was just like, I was like, I can retire. That's it. For me, it was like, I've seen what I needed to see. And for me, when I was coming into the industry, there weren't many. I mean, plus size was just happening. This was really just happening, like where it was an industry starting to form, at least in my eyes. Like, I came in with the pioneers, like, you know, like Gwen DeVoe and Mia Amber, may she rest in peace, but she was like the top plus size model for like Ashley Stewart at the time. And like, I came in watching her, watching Sharon Quinn, and, you know, being able to work with these women and learn from them. They absolutely did it for me because I see myself reflected in them.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I have a path in this industry. There is a path for a plus size woman of color to make it professionally in this game. So yes, they absolutely did that for me. Yes. Right.
So speaking of you seem to have such like this positive outlook naturally. Are there techniques you use when you're not having such a great day or when you're not feeling this confident?
Oh yeah. I have to just like, for instance, I just did a photo shoot, and the other model that I was working with, she was absolutely gorgeous, size 12, flat belly, you know, younger, and we're on the beach and we're shooting together. And it's like, I really feel like any other woman that was in my position might feel a certain type of way. Like, oh my God, how can I stand up to, you know, this other woman? Is gonna like, maybe they might feel like, oh, it might highlight my flaws or something to that nature. It came, I'll say for 2 seconds, it came in my mind. Then I said, oh no, you're Asia Monet. And you're here to show that beauty comes in all shapes, all forms, you know, all sizes. And so I snapped back into that, and I slay with her. That's it. We show that it's amazing. It could be amazing on, like, yeah, she is size 12 and I'm a size 16. We're both rocking bikinis. That's it. Like, you know, so I don't feel like I have the luxury of getting caught up in those emotions, like the insecurities, because I know it's greater than me, right? It's not just about Asia feeling insecure. If I feel insecure and show that, then I've kind of failed the mission, which is to show that we are confident, we are beautiful, because I feel like if I don't do it, who's going to do it, right? Because this is not the norm. This is not, I've learned that many people, even different sizes from, I mean, I had a ballerina, a professional ballerina come up to me in Miami and say, like, oh my God, like, I feel the same way. Like, you know, this whole body, you know, empowerment, like, I resonate because they say I'm too small. I mean, she was like, she looked like a size zero, but she says that they won't allow her to be on stage and perform for the ballet. And I was just like, oh my God. So this is really a universal thing. It's not just about being plus size. Women from all, I've had professional wrestler come to me and say, oh, you've basically inspired me because I was having insecurities, but I see you walk out on the runway with such confidence. And I'm like, oh my God, if she could do it, I feel empowered to do it. So I don't have the luxury of really getting caught up in these, to me, lower perspective, honestly.
Right.
You know.
So if I were to interpret that from my perspective, it seems to me like you might have those thoughts, but you are able to separate yourself and be like, you know what, not today thoughts.
Right, right.
You know,
right.
You're it's a battle to that, of and you can go connect to something higher than yourself. That's awesome.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Tell us a little bit about your ideal day, like a great day.
Great day.
In Asia Monet's life. You know, it's more than just a great day, right? There's a great day for work. And then there's a great day for yourself.
Right. So which one do you
want? Tell us both.
So a great day for my ideal. I'll tell you my ideal day because I think I've only lived it maybe once.
Oh.
So far is where I feel like I can come in and solely be the model. Because when I come on set, and this is a print day, obviously. But like when I come on set, it's like I'm making sure like my hair is right, my makeup is right. You know, I'm in my mind planning the looks, like how I'm gonna get through the looks or whatever. Even though it may be somebody else's photo shoot, but like I shoot like it may be my last time that I will ever shoot. Like if this is the last image I'm leaving the world, I want it to be so perfect. So like that's my mentality. And so like I've only one time had I walked in, the team was absolutely amazing. They had tailors on set, they had the hair and makeup people were so amazing. I literally just sit there and just be in my zone and wait till it's time for me to deliver my shot. And so that to me is an ideal day where I can really hone in on what I do, which is model. So I like that. As far as
what about a perfect little Asia Monet day, like a any kind
personal,
of
yeah, personal
personal day? It's like I get to mellow out, relax, have my coffee in the morning, you know, sit and read inspirational things I like to read, and then like just basically being in balance with my energy and with the flow of my day. Like I just like to, because I'm a Libra, I very much like to be in balance in everything I do. So it's just being really mellow and just really enjoying my time and not feeling like my time is dedicated to everyone. Because you have to imagine that a lot of my time is going to other people, other projects, so like when I could hone back that energy and just be like centered, that is like an ideal thing for me. Which is rare.
It seems to be like a theme with people we ask that they love their alone time. Yes. It's like,
yeah, I said my perfect day is just getting an hour by myself. But,
and you're a mom and a wife. So like, yeah, I totally understand. Yeah. Like, yeah.
1 hour.
1 hour.
1 hour.
The golden hour.
Yeah. So now you are here and you have been to school. You were also a hairdresser. You did Wall Street. You've done all kinds of things that the audience doesn't quite know about. But what would you tell yourself now at those different places? Like you have an entrepreneur inside you, and you know there it's trying to come out. What would the advice be?
That's a good question. Follow your instinct, because throughout all those themes, me going to college, away to college, and being like one of the first in my family to do that, that was a big step. Then when I got there, I was studying business. I went to the School of Business, and it was geared to corporate, how to basically survive in corporate America, not being an entrepreneur. But I was already an entrepreneur, right? So I would take what I learned and I would apply that to my then business, which was being basically the hairstylist on campus. I was doing everybody's hair. From basketball players to professors would come through the door, and my roommates was like, "That's my professor."
That is so cool.
I was the designated hairdresser there. And then when I came out, I tried to assimilate to corporate America. I was working on Broad Street, right off of Wall Street, downtown, and under an executive, like a VP of the company. And he said to me, and I'll never forget that, he said to me, "You're nobody's assistant." And at that time, I was like, am I doing my job wrong? Like, what is going on? Because I was trying to be like the best assistant, but I understood what he meant. He was like, "You're a boss. You're not really anyone's assistant." And I was afraid to break off, to not go down this path of, you know, you go to college, you're supposed to land this big Fortune 500 job or whatever they do. Like, that's what you were supposed to do. And this whole modeling thing started to call to me. Mm-hmm. And I was applying for it, and I was applying for, like, gigs. I land National Campaign off of Craigslist while I'm sitting at my desk, like, applying to on Craigslist, literally. And so I was just like, what is this? What is going on here? But it was scary. It's like, you don't see too much of you there. And it's like, how do you break into this? But it was like a path just opening up. It was just opening up.
You could just feel it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, the opportunities I was landing, women who've been in the game weren't landing these opportunities. And I had no agent. I just came out of college. And so it was like, my advice is like, follow the instinct. Your instinct, like, it's leading you. It's like dropping these hints of where you should go.
Ooh, that gives me goosebumps. That's
but it, I mean, it's true. When I look at my life and I look at how, I mean, even becoming a fit model, I answered an ad. We're looking for a bra models. I didn't know what a bra model was. I didn't know, you know, I answered the ad. I went to the Les Mystères showroom and they were like, "Oh my God, you're a G." I was wearing probably a double D because at this point it's like nothing else was really, well, I didn't know about Alila back then, but like nothing because, and that's to talk about the industry, because brands like Alila is more specialty, right? It's not like you go into a store, a regular store, and just was able to pull. At that time, you weren't able to pull like G cups and stuff like that. So I didn't know that exists. And I try it on, and next thing you know, here it goes. Here is born the 40G model. And then I went on, and I hear it go. Follow the. So me coming from business background, that client didn't call me for a long time. It's like they say, "You are going to be the G model," but that I didn't speak to. So my business instinct kicked in. I said, let me cold call companies that I see are carrying a G cup in their size. Next led me to Waco. Waco had a G line, literally called G line. So I'm like, they must need me. They have to need me, right? They said, "Oh, we have a model." I was like, oh my God. Okay. So I said, can I leave you something? So I left them an email with my picture of me in a bra, and it had my measurements and my number. That's it. And I get a call from one of the head designers maybe 2 weeks later, and there it is. I started my first day there. Mm-hmm. And then once that happened, and then came Alila, and then like it just, but these business techniques and mindset that I have gathered throughout my entrepreneurship at through my my college degree, it led me to be able to step up in that moment, right? So it's like, if you look at your life, you'll see these just hints, everything just like leading you exactly to where you need to be. So mm-hmm. I say follow your instincts.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a big deal that you reached out to me through LinkedIn.
Did I? I thought you reached out to me on LinkedIn. I always say Ellen found me on LinkedIn.
Well, I think
you. But it said that I was the mom. I think maybe you've seen that.
You know, I can't remember, but it was just
But it was somehow, LinkedIn. It definitely was LinkedIn. Yes.
And this is many years ago. And mm-hmm. It was like, oh, huh. Maybe I saw it and you maybe said it 40G.
Yeah, I absolutely had it. I was marketing that. That's what I was fitting.
And I was like,
yep.
Oh, well, that, we need that. And it's just, yeah, you just never know. And whether you ask or you put it out there and you're filling a void, you can mm-hmm. see the void. I mean, that's the whole, mm. you know, being an entrepreneur is to find the opportunity in the problem.
Right. And positioning yourself.
Yeah.
Right. Because my degree is in finance and marketing. So obviously I use my marketing very much strongly. So everything to me, like when I came into the game, other models were very impressed because they're like, you have a website. And I was like, you don't have a website? Like, I didn't understand. And because the nature of it was these women worked for agencies and the agency would take care of all of that stuff. So they didn't have, you know, which I was shocked. Mia Amber didn't have a MiaAmber.com until years later. AsiaMonet.com was older than Mia Amber. And I was like, how could that be? She's been in the movie. She's this, she's that. Like, how could that even be? And it's a mindset, right? It's a mindset. So when I came in, I looked at this as a business. I always looked at it as a business. You know, people would say, oh, it's so glamorous. So I'm like, I work so hard. You have no idea. Like, I work from different angles. It's like, whereas one girl has people billing and marketing and, you know, pushing them while they're out modeling. I'm doing all of that and modeling. Like, it's a lot, you know, but it's my business. So that's why.
Absolutely. And that's being an entrepreneur, right?
Yes.
You have to wear many hats.
Many hats.
And if you don't know something, you're going to learn it. If you don't learn it, you won't survive.
It's true. Right?
It doesn't mean you can't like good day, bad day is different.
Oh, yeah.
Than survival in terms of skill sets.
Yes.
Because if you can't find the people who can complement you, you have to learn to do it yourself.
Absolutely.
And, you know, it's like so everybody had to start somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we all have to just take a deep breath and just say, it's not going from 0 to 100 overnight.
It is
little steps all along the way to get us where we're going to go.
Yes.
Well, you mentioned that you like to, you know, read inspirational things and stuff on, you know, if you have a chance. But, you know, one of our final questions and one of my favorite questions is if you had a favorite quote or phrase, what would it be?
Lately, my mantra has been, you can't pour from an empty cup. That has been I feel like spirit, God, universe, angels, they all keep reminding me of this lately because as someone who pours into a lot of different projects, people, places, and things, if I'm not full, if I'm not filling my soul, like my desire, my purpose, my physical body, if I'm not doing those things, I cannot fill into other people mm-hmm. and places and things. And so I've been having this energy of kind of like being tapped out because I'm giving too much and not giving enough back to me. So this whole idea of you can't pour from an empty cup is like a reminder to me, like, take care of you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and all things, even with love, like I deal so much with people and they say, oh, you know, like with heartbreak and stuff like that. And I'm like, the very love that you're looking for, you have to give it to yourself. And once you become that vibration, you will then attract this great love that you're yearning for, but it's literally not outside, right? So it also brings me back to that same place too. So, I mean, I just think it's a powerful, quote and reminder, and so that has been what's been ringing on my head lately.
What are some things that you do when you need to fill those cups?
Fill your cup.
Fill my cup. Yeah. Meditation,
mm-hmm.
connecting, just like literally quieting my mind because especially in this business, there's so much things happening with social media. Like, it's social media. You see all the, like, you're being bombarded by so much imagery, so much negativity, so much. So, like, I have to literally disconnect and literally be quiet and literally gain higher perspective of what's going on. Yeah. Because we feel so bombarded in the physical, like, in your flesh. And you're like, oh, my body hurts. So the world must be coming to an end, right? Because that's what you think. If you're in physical pain, mm-hmm. you're like, oh, my God, something is terribly wrong. Whereas there may be nothing wrong. Everything might be right in that moment. So you have to, like, for instance, my last trip, I literally injured my foot. Mm-hmm. And I would keep getting up, like, 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm like, what is going on? I'm in, like, pain. And, like, I was like, okay, I'm up 2 o'clock. I must need to pray and meditate. And so I started praying, I started meditating, and I just keep hearing everything is in divine order. All of this, all of it may feel heavy, but it's because things are shifting and moving. And so, like, if you don't tap in, if you don't quiet your mind and understand what is happening, you might miss the boat in a way. Mm-hmm. You know, you might go left when you're supposed to go right, because you're too wrapped up in your flesh to understand what is really happening. So, like, for me, it's absolutely disconnecting and meditating.
Yeah, and I love the words there. My mind was just thinking, you have to disconnect in order to really connect.
Literally.
Is there any, like, one thing you do every day no matter what? Like, even though you have all these crazy different days? Like, do you always have coffee or do you always meditate? Is there something like that?
Both of those. Okay. you hit them.
Okay.
Both of
those. I'm the same. That's why I'm curious. Yeah. Both of those. Because I also don't have the same day.
Yeah. That's, you know, a perfect day is that I wake up on time enough to have my meditation may run closer to an hour. Sometimes I like to cut it down, but like a good one where I'm like, feel like, okay, I've hit everything and, you know, I've witnessed some healings on people. Like, you know, I've really got into it is a good hour. Okay. But sometimes I don't wake up in time to be able to have a full hour, but it will happen throughout the day. Right. Like either when I get home, I'll do it. And same with coffee. Like I'll do maybe after my first appointment, then I'll run and get a coffee. Like, you know, but those are two of my rituals. Yes.
And this may be the same answer, but do you have a current favorite indulgence?
Oh, my. So when I was in Greece, Nescafe has gold packets of cappuccino.
Mm.
And it was like at the hotel that I was at. And I was like, oh my God, it was the best. It has the foam on top. I mean, everything. It was amazing. And I literally had them ship me some from the UK because it's so, like, that's mine. Yeah.
So wait, you can make it on your own?
Yeah, because they don't sell it here.
Oh.
Because right? they'll put certain businesses out of business if they sold that here. Seriously. Yeah. Yeah, so I had them ship me some from the UK.
I need to go check it out.
Yeah, no, it sounds good right now.
It's really good.
I'm writing that one down. That was really, it was so informative and helpful, and I'm sure, or it will for sure inspire so many people.
You know, and I just love this too, because I know you, you know, I've seen you a few times at some of the expos and stuff like that, but mm-hmm. It's just really nice to get to know people this way.
Oh, thank you.
I You're always so walk away feeling so inspired by these conversations.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
An hour-long meditation. I've tried to get my 20 minutes in.
No, but... no. I don't ever say that to, like, brag, because
no, I know
just
you're not.
Like,
absolutely not.
Because also, I'm a healer as well. So I'm working, like, energetically, like, whatever is coming up in spirit, like, I'm working to help shift that energy and stuff. So it's, sometimes it takes a while to do.
Yes, yeah. I know. And I'm just remembering how important it is just to come home to yourself so we can really stay focused and be these awesome women who live above the curve.
That's right.
Thank you for listening to The Curvy Pod. Let's continue living above the curve.